Y'all, I've been going through physical issues, and I'm in this middle of this wonderful thing that's happening. I've learned so much in my time of needing wholeness for myself. And the scripture where it says Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, that word obedience is so, that word really means Jesus learned how to do life rightly by the things that he suffered. And so I think there's some truth in that. But here's what I know, and you're going to like this. Folks, we pray, but a lot of us pray too many desperate prayers. And I've told you a million times, and it's true. The best prayer you'll ever say sometimes is, God, help! Just help me, help me, help me. And those are good prayers, and I actually pray those a lot. God, help me. God, please. I just wrote down stuff that I say. God, do something. God, I'm trying to work with faith. I believe that it is completed, but I don't believe that it is complete. But I believe, but you hear what I'm saying? And by, again, those aren't wrong, guys, but there's another place I've just found out recently that we can rise to. God wants us to, watch this, God wants us to use our authority, which is really His authority. We can pray with power, not demanding or commanding, but in His authority. And I'm going to show you what I found in Scripture. It's really awesome. In fact, I am finally at the point in my life, I don't confess any longer that I will be healed. I confess that I am healed. Do you hear what I'm saying? And there's a huge difference, and I've just found this in Scripture, and hopefully it will be a light to your soul and an understanding to your understanding. But listen, healing has been delivered from God's throne through Jesus, and God's throne is established by His authority. Man, I've done huge studies in the past in authority. I still have a sermon series of 10-pager of authority, because the truth is we will never walk in authority until we learn to walk under authority. I say this all the time to people in the fire department and other areas, because it's true. And when I will say walk under authority, I'm talking about whatever the office God has placed in authority. I walk under the authority of the office of the President of the United States. Whether I like the President of the United States or not, it's not the point. I walk under that authority. I pay my taxes because that's a government authority. I walk under that authority. But because I have learned to walk under authority, then you can walk in authority. And it's the same thing with Christ. Until we walk under His authority, recognizing everything that He does, we will never walk in the authority of who He is. Did you get that? Because it's really true. So, God alone is the authority in all things, like it or not. We are not the authority. I don't care how smart you are. Don't care how computer skilled you are. Don't care if you can make a robot, which are crazy scary now, isn't it? It doesn't matter. God is authority. He is the only authority. He is sovereign. The word sovereign means above all. There's only one person, one being that is sovereign in the entire world, and that is God, because everything is under God, including Jesus. But God gave Jesus the authority to do what He did on the cross so that we can be healed, we can be whole, we are healed, we are whole. It's simply a matter of believing and receiving that. And I have finally gotten away from my, though the scripture is very clear that we're supposed to bug God till He answers and stuff. I can show you the parables that Jesus used where the woman that wanted some bread, and the dude's like, dude, we're asleep, leave us alone. She wouldn't go away. So finally got him, gave her some bread. Like, God, she's bugging me, so just give it to her. And I think maybe God maybe do that sometimes. It's not the point. The point is there's a place where we can walk in His authority. And I'm going to show you this today, hopefully. So the first wrong committed, by the way, wasn't Adam and Eve. Because we always say, oh, they ate the apple, blew it for us. Well, yeah, that's true. It did blow it for us. But the real truth is, the first one was Satan, Lucifer. Because what happened was, it was Satan's rebellion. And what did he do? He was trying to place his authority above God's authority. Listen to me. We do this in the natural all the time. We just don't view it as authority. We try to figure things out and work things out and do things until finally we get desperate and go, oh my God, I guess I need to pray now, because we couldn't figure it out. That is usurping. Do you get it? That is usurping his authority, not in an ugly way. This is not about ugly. This is about speaking truth, and we need to walk in the authority that God has given us. So, where am I at here? So it wasn't Adam and Eve. It was Satan's rebellion trying to place his authority above God's authority. So it was an act of sin. Sure, it was a display of self-exaltation. When we get to where we think we're all that in a bag of chips, and maybe God can help us if I ever get to the point he needs to, you've lost it. You will never walk in any real authority. Because, man, Jesus walked in serious authority. The apostles, the disciples, walked in serious authority. But they walked in the authority of Jesus because they yielded to that authority. We can't have it both ways. We can't proclaim it and then do the thing our own way, or the way that we need to. So, by the way, it's possible to stand with Christ in doctrine, yet in principle with Satan. In Jesus, listen, watch. In Jesus' authority, we are healed. In Satan's authority, we are seeking healing. You better grab that, man. Because what happens is we seek healing because there's something in our human nature that says, we don't deserve it. I've done something stupid. God will never heal me because I did this. You're the one that ran into the building with the car. Why should he heal your broken ribs? Satan is the ruler of this world for now. And he places this crazy thought. Listen, I'm going to say it one more time. We are healed is God's authority. Seeking healing is Satan's authority. Okay? By the way, Satan's not afraid of our preaching. He fears our being subject to Christ's authority. He's not afraid of what I say. He's afraid of how I live. Because when you walk under Jesus' authority, come hell or high water, you're in the midst of power. And again, this is, sometimes I feel like, again, you learn through the things that you suffer. Sometimes I feel like God has allowed me to walk through what I have been walking through, so that I can gain the understanding, so that I can give y'all a little meat too. Listen, I've eaten everything that I ever serve you. Sometimes eating it like a cow. Chew it up, swallow it, and spit it back up, and chew it some more. A little cud. So, let me show you a great point. Remember Easter, which was the last time I was here, it feels like 100 years ago for me now, we talked about where Jesus said, why are you crying? To Mary, right? Well, God asked a guy why he was crying too. Look at this. So as Pharaoh approached, this is at the Red Sea when God was going to part the Red Sea and they were going to go across. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. You ever had that in your life? Stuff coming at you from left to right and you start panicking? You ain't got no authority in your panic. And because when they saw that the Egyptians were overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord and said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Isn't this funny how he made them leave? They saw this miraculous thing where their children weren't killed, and they scooted like crazy because they saw God in it for a second. Until you walk under authority, do you get this? They're not walking under Moses' authority. How could they walk under God's authority? So, why did you bring us out here down the wilderness? Weren't there enough grace for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? They had good hamburgers. Didn't we tell you? Oh, it didn't say that. I just want to throw that in. Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves. Let us be slaves to Egypt. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Is it? Let's keep going here. This gets better, gooder. But Moses told the people, God, there's another guy that loved people. Because if that would have said, and Steve told the people, shut up and leave, go back. That's what Steve would have said, but Steve's not Moses. Moses told the people, you're really doing, don't you? Really, you're going to gripe? Just whatever, then go back to where you were. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. And the Egyptians see you today will never be seen again. And the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Now that's a pretty cool thing to do. But now look at what God says. The Lord himself will fight for you. And then it says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Wait a minute. I'm helping. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, Mateg, great word, and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water till the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Walk in your authority. He didn't say pray until the waters divide. He said divide the water. I can walk in that kind of authority because God says if I walk under his authority, then I walk in his authority. Wow. And you'll walk across the sea on dry ground. Now, there's a time to cry to God, but there's a time to use and walk in authority. And I think we have reached the place in our understanding of what Christ has done for us on the cross and this, that it's not just a part of our package that we keep in our pocket, but it's becoming a part of who we really are, that we can start walking in our authority without having this false sense of no humility. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because that's what happens. Well, I can't, you know. Well, that's just, well, no. Now, watch this. That word mate, it means staff. It actually used a lot for tribe, the word tribe. But it also means branch. God said, stop whining. He wasn't whining. He said something. Stop crying and hold up your staff. Hold up the branch. Let me establish this branch here with some word. Behold, Jeremiah prophesied, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. And in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called the Lord, our righteousness. Gee, I wonder who that's talking about. Go ahead, thank you. Who's your staff? Jesus. When you cry, what do you raise up? Jesus. Okay, well, let's keep going. We got to prove this point that he's the branch. In those days, Jeremiah 33, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth. David, where was Jesus from? The lineage of David. Thank you very much. And he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. And in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. And this is the name which he shall be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Okay, well, wait, come on. There's got to be more about this branch guy. And here he comes. Now listen, Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you. Indeed, they are men who are assembled. For behold, I am going to bring in my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, on one stone or seven eyes, behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Gee, I wonder what that's talking about. The cross. What do I have next? Wait, let's see if I won't go there yet. Don't go there yet, Jeremy. Oh, yes, I do want to go there. Yeah, this is the last one of this, Zechariah. And of this, who is this branch guy? Then say to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, a man whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord. Yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he who will bear the honor and sit and rule on his throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne, the high priest, if you read the Hebrews. And the council of peace will be between the two offices. The council of peace between God and Jesus, which covers all of us. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure you understand that this branch is this authority that God told, when he told Moses to hold up your branch. I'm trying to help you with this, that this branch is Jesus Christ. And there's an authority in that, because here's what's so ironic, if it's ironic, in Jesus' authority, believe it or not, we are the branch. Look at this. I am the true grapevine, Jesus speaking in John 15, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. You will never produce fruit if you don't walk under the authority of Christ. And when you walk under the authority of Christ, then you can walk in the authority of Christ, and you are the branch, and you will produce good fruit. Good fruit being healing in your own personal body, not just healing in someone else's body. It will produce, oh, even finances. Sorry, I can't give you the little spiel about, you know, how you give 10, you'll get 20, you'll get pressed down, shaken together, and running over, which, by the way, if you read that in context, it's talking about judgment, not money. But listen, you want to prosper in your life. When I say prosper, that's not necessarily money, is it? Dude, you can win the lottery tonight and die of cancer tomorrow. We want prosperous, our bodies prosperous. Watch this. So, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce more. This is so true, and you need to grasp this, because there's times where we feel like we're really doing well, and then all of a sudden it's like God takes it away from us. But he listen, when we lived in California, we had a plum tree, and our plum tree was the horriblest looking plum tree you've ever seen. It was a big old tree, half dead, but there was one branch that had plums on it. And people would want to swap me 5 buckets of their plums for 1 bucket of my plums, because my plums were the sweetest plums that you've ever eaten. Because all of the energy and stuff was going to that one branch, and the rest of the tree looked horrible. So the way to get that tree whole again was to cut off all that wonderful fruit. So that it had to be pruned so that the rest of the tree could grow and produce even better fruit. Man, those times where God snips a little bit, and it's so unfair, but he does that on purpose. You know, Dr. Judson Cornwall, he was my mentor, and most of y'all know that he was an organist, like a concert hall organist. He was famous at the time, and was wanting, you know, I mean, all over the world, Carnegie Halls and that type of thing, organist. And the Lord one day spoke to his heart and said, "Nope, don't play the organ anymore. I'm done with that with you." And Judson's like, "Wait a minute, it's like the only thing I got, you know." The bottom line is, Judson ended up writing 67 books. 67. And I doubt he would have wrote one had he stayed with the organ. Now, he could still play the organ, but that wasn't his focus anymore. God pruned that so that he could make the tree fuller, right? So that's what this pruning situation is. You've already been pruned. Listen, verse 3, you need to underline in your head. You have already been pruned and purified by the message, euangelion, by the good news, by what Christ did for you on the cross. You already, listen, you're already there. You already are the branch that you need to be. Look, you've already been pruned and purified by the message that I've given you, talking about Jesus. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. For a branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. You cannot walk in authority if you don't walk under authority. If you don't walk in the authority, do you understand this? Authority is such a weird word. I wish I could come up with a different word. So remain in me. And he says, for a branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you can't be fruitful unless you stay with me. Yes, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, what does this mean, produce fruit? This, you can go all the way. You can go to the fruits of the Spirit, which is the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, all the way down to self-control, which it's amazing to me. And I did a whole teaching on that. The Holy Spirit will allow the spirit of self-control in us so that we can actually do that, so that we can actually, yes, I've lost a lot of weight, thank you very much, and it was on purpose, thank you very much. But I don't take any credit for it, because I'm telling you the truth. As much as I pray, Lord, that let the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you know, if you're going to pray, man, I want that fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love fruit of the Holy Spirit, then he's going to bring somebody in your life that's just nuts. Do you get what I'm saying? Just somebody that you couldn't have ever loved before. Don't pray for love if you're not willing to love, man. Don't pray for patience. Because that word patience in the original language literally means patience with other people, not patience with circumstances. Not like, man, I'd wish it quit raining. No. It's, I wish that guy would shut up. Don't say, oh, God, give me... Don't do it. I did that for years. I've told you all the story. I was 8 years into asking God for patience. 8 years into it, John. And I'm like, one day I'm in my office, and I'm like, man, God, I got this on the calendar. This is 8 years that I've been asking for patience, and here's what I hear from the Lord. Well, you've been kind of patient for 8 years waiting for it. And that had to be him because he's funny. And I just laughed and I just left it alone. And so, anyway. Anybody who doesn't remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. You burn in hell forever. This is what people grasp of this. This is so not what it's talking about. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned in hell forever. But, now remember when I say if there's a but in the word, it means everything that was just said, there's a qualification, right? But if you remain in me and my words remain in you. His words, what was his words, man? His words were crazy. His words were to love people you couldn't stand. His words, you want to obey Christ, it's got nothing to do with obeying the law. That's easy. Obeying the law, because you can just, you know, honor your mother and your father. So you send them $10, I've done it. But when Jesus says, if somebody slaps you on the right side, turn the other side. Have you ever thought about that? Point to your right cheek. Okay, stay right there. Most people are right-handed. So if somebody slaps you on the right side, that's going to have to be a backhand, is it not? Then turn the other cheek around. Yeah, come on. Well, you would punch me in the face, sir. No, not at church, but if we were outside. So next time you got a friend, just go, you're a Christian, right? Yeah. Bam, backhand them, Johnny. And then when they come at you, go, wait, man, I thought you were a Christian. You know, Jesus said turn the other cheek. It doesn't work that way. But you know what? Look what that says, though. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, and his words are so awesome. His words are how much he loves you. This crazy. So if you remain in my words in you, you may ask, look at this. You may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Jesus said this. I didn't. And it will be granted. If you stay in me, and you know my word, what does it mean? Steve, what do you mean stay in me? I mean every breath that you take has to do with some kind of conversation with Jesus in the Holy Spirit that resides within you. That no matter what life is throwing at you, or in the, man, listen, especially in the good times, we tend to set him aside in the good times, man. We really do. I can't tell you the people over the year. We've been here over 25 years, and people who just, they get desperate, and they're like, man, I'm coming back to church because my life's falling apart. And I'm like, well, and I appreciate that. But I tell this to people all the time. How cool would it be if you came to church when you're whole in your mind so you could really glean instead of having to, you know, feeling, oh, I feel guilty because I haven't been here in a while. And, you know, stop. This is so good. But if you remain in me, my words in you, anything you ask, and it'll be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you're my true disciples. This brings great glory, glory meaning this brings great appreciation of God. And appreciation means what? Value, right? Great appreciation of God, great reputation of God. It brings God great glory if you produce fruit. And we have for so long been so concerned about whether we're taking the glory from God. Stop it. You can't take glory from God. It's impossible. Huh. It really is. You can do your own self-glory and call it God's glory, but it's not God's glory because that's pride. And God don't have pride. God be God. Okay, so Jesus' authority gives us power. And I don't mean power to hurt somebody. It gives us power. Watch. Here's Jesus. This is everything's about Jesus. Jesus called his 12 disciples together. He was fixing to send them out to go out and minister. While he was still alive, he was fixing to send them out. Watch this. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and he gave them authority. How could he give them authority? Because they walked under his authority. You cannot, look, I'm trying to think of an example. You can't walk under authority of somebody you don't believe in. Right? You know, somebody, if your boss who you don't believe in tells you something, now you have to walk under his authority in the office of that he's your boss. But let's say outside of the boss area where he's not your boss, you're not going to walk under his authority. Why? Because you don't believe in them. If you honestly believe in Jesus, you have every right to walk under a crazy authority. And that authority is a loving authority. And that authority is a powerful authority. Now look, he says, he gave them authority, exousia, great word, to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of illness. Let me tell you what that word means. That word exousia means. It means universal power, strength, and authority over mankind. That doesn't mean that we lord it over mankind. It doesn't mean that we become these healing preachers who have demands and tell you because you're not healed, you don't have faith. That's not God, ladies and gentlemen. That is Satan authority. That is baloney. Because it really is. Because we walk in authority if we walk under Jesus' authority. I don't have to prove it to anybody. I don't have to say, okay, who are we going to give credit to? I don't have to say who you're going to give credit to. I'm going to show you that real quick here in the Scripture. Listen to me, man. We walk in something crazy good, and it's called a loving authority. When I say loving authority, Jesus never held his authority up over anybody. He yielded himself. Every time the guys would go in and say, man, you know what? Jesus, we want to sit at your right hand. We want to sit at your left. Even mama came in and said, where can my boy sit up in heaven? And Jesus normally, he didn't say nothing. He would just stop, and he would drop his naked, and he would cover himself. And then he would start washing their feet, and he would tell them, man, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. There's an authority under Jesus to serve people. But in that serving, it's to bring healing in their life. And that's not just... that's not just physical healing. That's healing of emotions. That's healing of sorry relationships. That's an authority that we have that we can walk in a power that we've never walked in, because once we finally start walking in a submitted authority to Jesus, then our stupid ego and stuff, our flesh gets in it, and then we start demanding things. You know, you're telling somebody to come up out of a wheelchair and they don't have any legs, and then blaming the guy for not having any legs that it's his bad because his faith is so. No, you're stupid because you didn't see him have any legs. I the whole game plan is silly. Sorry, I'm really emotional. Here's what Jesus did. So he sent out the 12 disciples, apostles, with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. Thank God he died, because now that's where he comes. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Now pay attention to this. This is powerful. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not received the love and the mercy and grace of God, you will never be able to give anything out, ever. Because that's where the authority lies. The authority lies in the fact, how many times have I told you, that it's not about me, it's all about Him. It's not about how good I am or how bad I am, it's all about Him. When I walk under the authority of who He is, then I can give out what I have received, which is absolutely nothing that was deserved. So I can't take any credit for it. So I can't usurp his authority. Because I am a piece of doo-doo. But he's the greatest of all. He's the greatest ever. Here's what I want you to see. And now listen, I know James said it differently, but I'm talking about what Jesus said. I'm talking about in the book of James. Jesus didn't say, go pray for the sick. If you read that, if you understand that word in the original language, it's a very powerful. It was, would Jesus be saying, John, heal the sick. Now again, James said, call the brethren in the church and pray for the sick. I get that. But there's something about what Jesus did here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're all there, right? He's looked at them. Luke, heal the sick. Gay, heal the sick. Darla, heal the sick. That's authority because it's not about me. And for so long, people have confused that with arrogance. When if you walk under the authority of Christ with the recognition that your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, but then you walk with the understanding that I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and you really can walk in that, then you can walk up and you can say, be healed in Jesus' name. Yes, of course it's in His name. He's the only one with the power. He's the only one that has the authority to sign the check. But He's already signed it. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy. You know, and then when they came back, they're like, oh my God, we did. They were shocked. As shocked as we are when God heals. Oh. This is more than faith. This is authority. Faith is the word pistis, the belief in what Christ did on the cross. I get that. But when I set aside my, oh God, please, you know, because then we start doing the excuses. It's God, it's such the enemy. I've been faithful to you. No, you haven't. Stop. You haven't. But God, I've been going to church. Okay, but what if you miss? There's some people that aren't here today, man. Psh, they blew it. You get what I'm saying? The enemy wants you to think it's about you. Jesus wants you to walk under His authority and proclaim it's Him. Under the authority of Jesus, Steve Van Zandt, I am healed. Under Satan's wild craziness, oh, you're seeking it. You're looking for it. You're going to chase it. You're going to, you know, you beg Him, beg Him. And then when you start that, then you start the whole process again of, well, again, I don't deserve it. You're right, you don't. It's done. How stupid love is that? You don't deserve it, but it's done. So I conclude with this last scripture, which is Jesus' last words before He floated up into heaven. It's kind of important when you see the last words, right? Jesus sent out the 12. Whoops, wrong one. I'm looking for Matthew 28. Oh, yeah, finish that. Sorry. Matthew 28 should be next. There's no Matthew 28? How dare me. Notice how I'm going to take the blame. Jeremy, I'm taking the blame. I know I emailed it to you, but I'm going to take the blame. I'll read it to you. It's just as good right here on my paper, which is why people go, well, when you use that, why don't you just put the scripture reference? Because computers aren't God, and they can mess up sometimes. In fact, and here's what's so cool, and God never messes up with computers, because, like, have you ever written an article or something on your computer, and then your computer crashes, and it's bliss, and you lost it? Well, let me just tell you something. It's never happened to Jesus, because Jesus saves. John, you got that real quick. I'm really glad. I'm really glad you, some of these people are like, wow, what? Okay, so, oh, you did have it. You snuck it in there. And the reason I know you didn't just pull it up, because I have the stuff, I'm the one that did, I put the Greek words in there. Yeah, see? What's so funny is I thought we went over it this morning, so I was going crazy. I'm like, really? I didn't go over this? Okay, anyway. Here it is, Jesus' last words, but the 11 disciples, 11 being because Judas had already taken his life, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some were doubtful. Is this not just too crazy? Now, some of the disciples who had walked with Him, and now He's alive, and they watched Him die, were doubtful. Now, it can happen, I guess. Verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to him, saying, all authority, same word as a while ago, exousia. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What does that mean? Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. The Bible says very clearly, Ephesians chapter 1, everything is, all principalities, powers, including Lucifer, are under his feet. He is the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one, the omniscient, the omnipresent. You get what I'm saying? He is the one. Well, then why is Satan? Satan still gets to play with this earth for a little bit. Here's what's so dumb about Satan. He still acts like he's going to win. He needs to read Revelation. He really does. How dumb can you be? And so Jesus came and he said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go therefore, great word, O-U-N, oon, oon, oon. It's like if you're from oon, Scotland, oon. Go therefore, I'll tell you what that means in a minute, and make disciples, mathetaos, I don't know how to say it. It's a pretty word though, isn't it? Of all the nations, watch this, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Stop. I have had millions and millions and millions of pastors, when they get there, jump straight back into the law. That is not what Jesus commanded. He never commanded the law. He pushed us beyond the law. He pushed us beyond the law. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. That's the law. But I tell you, you love those guys. Oh, wait a minute. That's why he said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. I'll make it as hard as you possibly can see that you can't do it so that you'll recognize you need a Savior, which is me, and I will have already done it for you. Walk under my authority, be my branch, and you will see incredible miracles happen. Go therefore, I'll tell you what it means now. Watch. In fact, I'm going to take out therefore. Here's what I'm going to say. Go, because this is so. In other words, all authority has been given to me in heaven. So go because I did get all authority in heaven, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Lord, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, and even in the end of the earth. So don't ever fly an airplane, because he's not in an airplane because he's low. Man, I'm just so full of it today, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not even gonna look over at my wife. Yes, exactly. I came back with my Valero card too, but. And by the way, that's not what that word low means, because it would have a W. Anyway, I'm with you always, even in the end of the day. Jesus was always, whatever. So here's the point. Because Jesus has been given authority, we have his authority in his name because he gave it to us. In fact, he said, I got to go so that I can send this comforter, this advocate, this Holy Spirit so he can reside in you. And that word for disciple, mathe, wadio, whatever it is, it means a disciple of one. Go and make disciples of me. That's it. Hear me. It's important. Because we make disciples of two sometimes, Jesus and pretty much what we want to do. It means to instruct them to follow the teaching and the instructions of that one. And it means to be taught the doctrine of that one. Go and make disciples of Jesus. Tell them exactly what Jesus did on the cross and what he accomplished for you. Instruct them, teach them, and then move forward with the fruit that is growing from that, and heal the sick, raise the dead, love people, serve people. So I don't confess anymore, I will be healed. Nope, ain't doing it. I am healed. Well, what if you have symptoms? Stop it with what if you have symptoms. Have you ever sneezed? Did you have the flu? Oh, you just sneezed. Now, just so you know, this is weird, but it's true. When I eat and I get full, when I eat too much is basically what, it's my body telling me, I sneeze. And in this weight loss program, here's how I judge how I'm doing well on weight loss. I haven't sneezed in a while. But then I got on the cruise, and the last day of the cruise, I had done really well. In fact, my friend that went with me, he lost like 6 pounds. because he was kind of eating like I was eating. And but at the end, I was like, you know, that mac and cheese, and a little mashed potato, and 18 oatmeal cookies. Anyway, I ate the mac and cheese. Now, back in the day, I would go, take another bite, take another bite, take another bite. Of course, my friend Gary looks at me and goes, and I go, look, don't even go there, man. You haven't heard me sneeze all week. You know, I think it's God's way of telling me, put the fork down, son. But my point is, whether you want to believe it or not, or whether you believe it or not, and I said this in the beginning, God is the authority in all things. And if we walk under the authority of all things, we move in the authority of all things. That's why Jesus said, I give them authority, heal the sick, raise the dead. And it goes beyond that. Do what I command. What do you command us? Love people you hate. Serve people that don't deserve it. There's nothing worse than someone that comes and we give groceries to that are ungrateful. Listen, I was back there one day, and I'll leave with this. I was back there one day, and I don't ever go back there, but this one day I thought, you know what? I'm going to encourage the volunteers. I'm going to go back there, you know. Oh, no, God had a plan. So I go back there, and I sit down, and every serving, they're all happy that I'm back there. You know, of course, I ain't doing nothing because I don't do work, you know. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm sharing and thanking them and all this stuff, and this one guy walks up, and he takes the bag of groceries that is free every week, and he looks in the bag, and he says, I don't want this poop, but he said the word S, and shoved it. I went from loving pastor to I shot straight up out of my chair. I mean, straight up, immediately up out of my chair, and of course, all eyes, zoom, on me, the volunteer. And he's like where you are, and I walked off. That's the most grace I've ever given anybody. I wanted to choke the man. You hear what I'm saying? But it's even in those times when if I walk under his authority. Dude, Jesus didn't ask for the cup. When Jesus, there's your authority right there. When Jesus was going to do, he wasn't shunning the cup. Listen to me, man. There's tons of martyrs out there, all right? Jesus could have been a martyr. Oh, God, I'm going to drink this cup for you. I'll burn it to stake, whatever you want me to. Stop it. His struggle was not the cup. His struggle was the authority. And he said, nevertheless, I want to walk under what your desire is. And he did. And that's the way we need to be. And I promise you, and you would think me weird when you would see me praying for me. Because I'm laying hands on me. And I'm proclaiming over stuff over me. Because it's not about me. All right, I'm done. Stand with me.
I want to read this out of 1 John, or out of John 15 that you read earlier, out of the Passion Translation. It says, when your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. And I was thinking about that apricot tree that was in our backyard.
I thought it was a plum tree.
That's because you didn't do the canning, honey. I made the jelly. It was apricots.
That just plum makes me mad.
That's okay. You're cute.
It was a watermelon tree.
And here's the thing. The only time we used that to make jelly, the only time I would do it and put it through the heat was when it was mature. You know, mature fruit. I want to read this to you out of 1 John 2, verse 13 and 14. This is a Living Bible. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ. You existed, he existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you've won your battle with the evil one. I've written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young in the faith because you're strong and God's word lives in your hearts and you've won your battle with the evil one. You've won, whether you're young, mature, about to drop off because nobody's been utilizing you. You still have. Let me tell you this. Every piece of fruit in that tree that fell, whether I used it or not, we look at some of them and go, oh, that's bug-ridden. Get rid of it. We should never get rid of life. You know why? Because every seed out of every piece of fruit would reproduce what was in the roots of that first tree. Stop discounting yourself that you're past your prime. Stop discounting yourself that you're too young in the faith. Stop discounting yourself because you had weakness and you had sin. The seed of him is in you and you are mature and you will bring forth a crop of life to everybody you meet. And I just like to do this. I'd like for you just to lift your hand with me if that's your desire to bring that forth. Seriously, if you are really wanting God to be able to use you, Lord, today we just lift our hands as that sign of faith, saying that we are in agreement with you, God. I want to thank you that you've already won the battle over the evil one, Lord, and that it's not our job to judge other people by our standards or yours. It's up to us to share the seed of life that you've given us in maturity to bring life and life abundant. And today, Father, I just ask that every person with their hand lifted would no longer worry about what they look like or sound like or what they've done or what they might do, but Lord, that they will look to you who dwells inside and proclaim over themselves life and life abundant because the evil one has already been defeated. And Lord, you didn't call us evil. You called us beloved. And we rest in that today, Father. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to have that peace, and you just keep saying that. The evil one is defeated. I am healed. I am delivered. And I am set free. Amen.
That's God's authority, man.
Just say it. Amen. We love you. Right after service, for those who are going on the missions trip to Oaxaca, you're going to be meeting in the green room, the room right off the kitchen. The men who are going on retreat are going to meet over in this section just for a minute. They just want to share some information. And some of you are like, men's retreat? Can I still go? I think there are some places open. That's what I'm saying. So if you want to go with the men, come on over here. God bless you.